Hi there. Thanks for listening to the Adulting is Easy podcast. This is Lauren. I manage the Adulting is Easy blog and podcast, of course, which can be found at realadultingiseasy.com. I'm joined today, once again, by my little sister, sleep-deprived Jenny.
Hi, my name's Jenny. I'm a high schooler, hence the sleep deprivation. And I'm here with my sister today to learn a thing or two, once again, about adulting.
Yep. How are your exams? Is that why you're so tired? You're still hungover from your exams 3 weeks ago?
Yes. That's about right.
Well, before we jump into Jenny, I just wanted to talk about some listener feedback. One listener said he listened to every single podcast, and his favorite one was the one about health insurance. So thank you for that feedback, and thanks for listening. Now on to our topic for today. We're going to, as usual, try to make adulting a bit easier for Jenny and all of our listeners by explaining a personal finance topic, since managing money is a huge part of adulting. And today, Jenny, I'm going to tell you about 8 steps everyone should take when they get their first job. And some of these, just for listeners and Jenny, for your sake as well, some of these are going to be valuable even if you already have a job.
Yeah. Right now, my junior year is like a hot time for everyone to be like getting jobs and stuff. So this one definitely applies to me.
Yep. Good. Okay. So everyone, I want you to close your eyes, unless you're driving. Just kidding, actually. Just picture this. You're young. You're excited. You did your research. You nailed multiple interviews. And you got a job. So now, what do you do with your paychecks?
Save them, no matter what.
So number one out of 8, again, there's going to be 8 steps here. Number one is to set up direct deposit. It's beneficial for a few different reasons. First of all, it's more convenient. You don't want to have to make the trek into work to pick up a check. I think my brain is broken. I can't talk today. Maybe I'm also sleep deprived. You don't want to make the trek to work to pick up a check. You don't want to have to deposit a check. Even with mobile deposit, it's not as convenient as the money just showing up in your account. Secondly, you may be eligible for perks from your bank for using direct deposit. At the very least, they'll probably offer you a checking account with more perks, lower fees, no fees, something like that. My husband and I, when we signed up for our current bank, they actually deposited $300 into each of our checking accounts when we switched our direct deposit to there from our jobs.
Oh, okay. So there's an easier way to do it than to get your paycheck, go on the Bank of America app, and really?
It just goes into your account.
Because I thought that was easy.
I know, it is. It is easy, but this is even easier. We can talk to your boss about that eventually here. So another reason, number 3, most workplaces will let you split your paycheck into 2 different accounts, which makes it easier to save. So until very recently, I just made this change for complicated reasons, but until very recently, I had $250 a paycheck go to one account and the rest of it go to another account. That's a really good way to save money because you never see it go into like your main account that you use.
All right.
Comments?
Sounds good.
All right. Number 2. Understand your pay stub. So what you want to do when you get your pay stub, and we'll talk about this for your job later, Jenny. When you read through your pay stub, and you need to learn the difference between what you're paid, which is that top line number, that's your gross income, and then your take home pay. There's going to be some stuff in between there. So your gross income will be the number of hours worked multiplied by your hourly rate, or if you're salaried, it's going to be 1/26th of your salary. Then you're going to have your 401k and retirement plan and your health insurance premiums, if that's applicable. Then taxes are going to be taken out, because 401ks are, you know, most employer-sponsored plans that could be traditional IRAs, 403bs. They'll be taken out, and then the taxes will be applied. So last, at the end, you're left with your take-home pay. So you know that we've talked about 401ks and stuff a bunch. So yeah. I already know you know what those are. And if you didn't listen to the health insurance episode, you can do that too.
Oh no, I did. I've been keeping up.
Oh good. Yeah, that was Andrew that did that with us. So number 3 is to create a budget. So you're making money now. You should take your take-home pay and you multiply that by 80% what you would get. It makes most sense to do this on a monthly basis. So take what your monthly take-home pay would be, multiply that by 80%, and start with that. Next, subtract your expenses, you know, your necessities, like your rent, student loans, utilities, car payment, car insurance, cell phone, gas, food. The rest is going to be your discretionary spending. So, and the 20% that we lopped off the top, that's for savings. So 20% for savings, and then 80% for discretionary spending and your necessities, with necessities being 50%, and discretionary spending being at 30%. And this is called the 50-30-20 budgeting approach. Eric and I did a podcast on budgeting. You can go ahead and check that out as well.
Cool. I remember you gave me that one book about, like, the rich people of Babylon or something like that. Yes. And what they would do. That was in, like, summer of eighth grade or something like that. And it was basically like that. It was like, if you have 10 pesos or whatever, like, currency they were using, they're like, save 7, use 2 for, like, everyday needs, and then just put 1 away. So.
Yeah. Perfect.
Cool.
Yep, so that's right, everyone. I assigned my 14-year-old sister the richest man in Babylon. So good, and look, it stuck. So creating a budget, basically, once you figure out what your percentages are going to be, then you can kind of allocate within there into different categories and things like that. What do you think is a good amount to be spending on entertainment and things like that? And then, of course, tracking it every month to make sure you're staying within budget and making changes as you go. So number 4 is start building up a savings cushion. So saving is a habit, and you might as well start right away. We already talked about one way to save, which, or two ways, kind of. The first one was to, literally, when you're getting your direct deposit, have some money go somewhere else. Certainly, you should sign up for your employee health plan, your employee-sponsored retirement plan, which we talked about. We were talking about the pay stub. And it's a habit. Once you get started with this, it's just going to be something that you always do. There's always money going to savings. So you need to decide which percent you want to save. As I just mentioned, 20% is a pretty good suggestion. Even if you can't start there, start at 5, work your way up. 20% is about what you need to have a comfortable retirement.
So is that one of the reasons that you're putting 250 away somewhere else? Or what was that about?
Yes. It was also so I wouldn't get fees in that account. Okay. I had to have direct deposit into it. And so that's how that happened. But that is a good way to save. Eric has money. I get paid a little differently because I'm not on salary. I am a salesperson, so I get kind of commissions and bonuses. And so my pay isn't very regular, so I don't have regular savings going in like that. When I get a big commission check, I put like half of it in there, and it basically...
So it's not like always constant, like it varies.
No, it varies. And normally the end of the year is going to be bigger than the beginning of the year. But Eric is salaried, so he has money that goes two places. One, it goes into his Ally account, his online savings account, which you have one of those too. And that's kind of saving to redo our kitchen. And then he has money that goes into a Vanguard brokerage account. So we have some stocks that are non-retirement stocks. So he kind of takes care of that stuff. And then my money that I put away over time is kind of like our real estate fund for new real estate. And the money we get from the rental we have also goes in there. So I've got Eric saving mostly, which is good. So ideally you want to save 20%. As Eric and I talked about on the budget podcast, we save about 40%, which is a lot. Because we have some early retirement goals. But most people will tell you need to save 20% basically your whole life to be able to retire comfortably. So, again, with this money, we just talked about this with our little off-the-cuff conversation there. It'd be great if you could put the money into an online savings account. It's going to have a higher interest rate. And it's not as easy to spend, right? Do you even know how to get to your Ally? Probably not, right?
I mean, I know I can see, like, my balance on, like, Bank of America app. Like, I'm pretty good at using the Bank of America app.
But what about your Ally account? Can't see it on there, right? No. See? It's harder to get to, which is the point.
Just my checkings.
Right, yeah. Checking, good. I checked my Ally account today, but I don't check it that often. It's just, it's harder to get to, and I think you're only allowed to do something like 6 transactions a year in it for it to still be called a savings account. And so when you're doing this saving, when you're putting this 20% away, you're, of course, going to start with your emergency fund. That's 3 to 6 months of living expenses. And then you can move on to saving for other things like I was talking about, like Eric putting money away for the kitchen or Eric putting money into our brokerage account.
So if you did more than like like you said, 6 transactions in your savings account, does that mean you start getting fees? Or
technically, this is what a banker once told me. The government can force you to turn that into a checking account.
Oh.
I don't know what the implications of that are, but it sounds scary.
So, like, the interest you would get wouldn't be as much.
Right.
Because you get
for
more
sure
money.
That. Yes, yeah. For sure that.
That's
so.
That's all I know.
Yeah, I don't. Again, I don't. Don't quote me on that. Do some Googling on that, but that's what a banker once told me. All right, number 5 here.
Oh, my favorite one.
Number 5 on the 8 steps to take once you get your first job with your money. Treat yourself. Kind of a new idea, right? In that it's been floated like treat yourself memes and everything. And it's a little bit controversial advice because this is basically a personal finance podcast and why am I telling you to spend money? But I'm going to tell you this anyways. Buy yourself something that you've had your eye on. You know, getting your first job, it's a great accomplishment. You should mark it with a gift to yourself. I just really believe that, which for me, it would be a nice meal, nice bottle of wine, maybe a purse.
All your favorite things.
What would you do to treat yourself?
I'd probably get some really good brand cookies. That's it. That's all I want.
Kid loves cookies. I do too. It's like the only dessert
that's
I like.
That's it. That completely encompasses everything that I would ever want in my life.
Dude, there's nothing like a good chocolate chip cookie. Especially if it's like a little like melty, you know?
Perfect.
Man, now I'm hungry.
Them Great American cookies, man. They had heating up options. They showed you how long to heat them up so they're like perfectly melted. Yeah.
Well, there you go. All right. Now I'm sufficiently hungry. All right. Number 6, save for retirement. So once you've built up your savings cushion, that's your emergency fund. You should save for retirement. Start putting 10% to a retirement account and then continue putting, you know, 10% into your online savings account. Then you're saving your 20% still. Even if you're working part-time, your employer may offer a 401k plan or some other kind of qualified retirement account sponsored by your employer. Also, as we just noted, if you contribute to a 401k, you'll see that line item on your pay stub between your gross pay and your taxes because this contribution is not taxed until you use it in retirement. So there's tax benefits. So that's why I think you should definitely be putting money in your retirement account. If you want, you can put all of your savings into retirement. However, I kind of like the idea. You know, like I said, Eric and I have a rental property. You know, we obviously saved some money to do that. Some of that could have gone into retirement, but, you know, we chose to keep that out. Okay. You know, because retirement, you can't touch. We talked about this. You can't touch it till you're 59 and a half, basically, without penalties. So if you want to do anything with it, I kind of suggest splitting up that 20% into 10 and 10. Let's see. Okay, even if your employer doesn't offer an employer-sponsored retirement account, you should open up an individual retirement account that's an IRA. And a Roth IRA is a great choice because they're funded with after-tax dollars and your tax bracket's pretty low when you're young. We're at kind of a strange time in the U.S. where taxes are low because we just had a pretty serious tax cut. Generally, taxes are going to be, you know, higher later, so get taxed now, especially true nowadays.
How much was the tax cut?
It depends on what tax bracket you were in. The big tax cut, I'm pretty sure, was with businesses. The business corporate tax rate was like 35%, and it's like 21 now or something. So
it's like a third line.
Yeah. There are certain individual or married tax brackets. So how taxes, we can talk about this offline, but there's different tax brackets based on how much you make. So just basically they move some of those tax brackets down. So say like the 100,000 to 150,000 or whatever that bracket is, say it used to be 32%, it's now 24% or something like that. Some changes were made along there. So anyways, taxes are, it's always been the thought or the philosophy that taxes are going to go up. It's especially true right now because they're basically as low as they've ever been. And let's see, you can contribute to both a 401k and a Roth IRA. The main reason you should start saving for retirement right away is because of the compound interest. So even when you're getting your first job, this means that the money you contribute is going to earn more money, much more interest over time. And then your original contribution will earn money and the interest will earn money and that interest will earn money and the money is earning money. It's great. And because you're so young when you're getting your first initial job, which is kind of the focus of this podcast, you'll have a lot of time for your money to grow. So even saving $200 per month will grow to be tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars upon retirement. Remember when we did that first podcast, we went over HSAs, 401ks, IRAs.
Yeah, there's been many instances where we went over Roth IRAs, like so many. You talk to me about it all the time. It's your obsession.
I like them, you know. I like knowing that money's never going to be taxed. Okay, so number seven then, give back. There's no formula that I have ever found or known about. If you know of one, you know, tweet me at Adulting is Easy and let me know. You know, some people say you should give 10% or something like that. Really, what I'm saying is, much like saving is a habit, giving is also a habit. So set aside some money each month to give to charity or an online fundraiser. Even if you're going to give just like 10 or 20 bucks at a time, you can make a big difference and it'll feel great too. So I've been making a habit of, you know, on Facebook, they have like their, instead of gifts for my birthday, I'm raising money for this, or they have like GoFundMes and stuff like that. I've been trying to make a habit of like 10 bucks here, 20 bucks there. Just donating more and more. And obviously donate all your clothes, used clothes and stuff.
Nice, good for you.
Yeah, try. You know, those things, 20 bucks mean a lot. Okay, so our last step, number eight. The number eight thing on our list of what you should do once you get your first job is there, you know, you can make additional investments as well. So if we're assuming you're making 20%, spending 50% on necessities and spending 30% on discretionary items, the 20% you're saving, as I talked about, could be split between retirement and your online savings account. After a while, you'll have much more than your 3 to 6 month emergency fund in that account. You could use it for a car, right? If you need a car. You could use it for a vacation. That'd be quite a vacation, probably, if you could also buy a car with it. You could invest some of it, though. It could be a down payment on your primary residence. It could go to investment in a rental property. Or you could invest outside of your retirement accounts, like I was talking about that we do, in a brokerage with stocks, bonds, or REITs. Eventually, if you really want to generate wealth, you're going to need some additional investments as well. But I put that last on the list because pretty much everything I talked about, I think, kind of comes before that. Any reaction?
All right. It's pretty awesome. I'm having a lot of flashbacks to that book that I read like 3 years ago, which is funny because I haven't really thought about it that much, but like in this case, like the percentages you put away and some are for necessity, some are for like luxury. Like that was the big thing in the book, like the main idea. So
would you recommend Richest Men in Babylon to read?
Yeah, it's an easy read and the main idea is straight to the point. I like it a lot. It was like, 100 pages. And it was a good read. It had stories and stuff. Like, I had a storyline and it was interesting.
Yeah, I liked that book a lot. I assigned you, I believe, Millionaire Next Door last summer.
Yes, you did.
Did you read it?
Yes, I read some of it.
Okay.
I scanned.
Listen, you still have it, so my bookshelf is missing.
Mom has it.
Oh, mom has
it. Do not pin that on me.
Okay. All right, so that's what I prepared today.
Transitioning into a fully functioning, financially independent adult is not easy. Learning how to manage your personal finances can be overwhelming. Just take it step by step. It sounds cliche, but life really is a marathon. Luckily, by getting your first job and listening to this podcast, you've already on your way.
Thanks for taking up the slack there, because my brain broke.
I know.
So you can find the Adulting is Easy blog about this topic at flytofi.com. That's flytofi.com. I submitted it as a guest blog and it was posted January 2nd, 2020. All other Adulting is Easy blogs can be found at realadultingiseasy.com.
All right. And you can also follow us on Twitter at Adulting is Easy. We're also on Facebook. And you can email us at realadultingiseasy@gmail.com. You can also show your support at patreon.com/adultingiseasy.
Thanks again for listening, everybody. And hopefully we've made adulting a bit easier for you.